1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and of all, listen, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Ain't three or four, it's one. And that's very important. Because one of the functionalities of the Spirit, you know, you've got the cross and then the Pauline. The functionality of the Spirit is to baptize us into the one body, which is the church. One Spirit baptizes us into one body. Say, isn't that the same as the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2? Well, go to Matthew chapter 3 first. Matthew chapter 3. Functionality. Now, the reason I want you to think about this is, what is the Spirit doing? In Matthew chapter 3, I want to start in verse 11. Matthew 3, 11. Give you time to get there? Read with me. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. And he, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Lord Jesus Christ, shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with what? Back over here, who's the baptizer? Christ, right. And he's baptizing them with the what? Holy Ghost and with fire. I said that you partake of one baptism or the other, but you can't take of both. That was incorrect. I want you to put Hebrews chapter 6 right there and turn there.
Are you saying that there's a mistake right in the Word of God?
No. No, I made a mistake. I said you could only be baptized with one or the other. That is not true. You could actually partake of both of these baptisms if you're Israel. And by the way, that's exactly my point. And it's based upon Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6. Y'all there? This is complicated stuff, boys and girls. But you got to get it. There's a lot of deceivers out there. Hebrews 6. I want to start in verse 4 again. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, as in Acts 2:38, I would put that right there, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Were they baptized with the Holy Ghost? Yes. And had tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. Now I'm going to take all the commas out from the first and then the last. For it is impossible, verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, verse 6, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. Is it impossible? Absolutely. So if someone had tasted and was baptized in the Holy Ghost, if they do something outside that realm, what's going to happen? They're going to get the fire. And the example in the Bible is Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. Turn there. Verse 37 of Acts 4. Just to grab the context. Having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. What were they to do? Sell out. Can anybody give me some references there? Here's some to write in your Bible. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Luke chapter 12, verse 33. And Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 through 21. Write it in your Bible right there. And so guess what Ananias and Sapphira did? They sold out. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. But they did what? That wasn't the dealy-willy. You know why they kept back just a little bit?
Just in case.
The wife was being privy to it, but it was just in case this doesn't work out. Don't want to give everything to the church. It may fall apart. And so they kept back part of the price. Verse 3. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie? Now, how did he know that Satan was causing him to do that? Because he knew the doctrine. And he had the Holy Ghost inside of him. And he could discern exactly what was going on. And they kept back part of the price. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? And to keep back, because the same Holy Ghost was in Peter, was in who? Yeah, exact same. He said, and keep back part of the price of the land. While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the what? This is serious business, boys and girls. This is John 20, verse 23 in Act. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. Whoever sins you retain, they are what? There it is. They drop dead. And you know what the next baptism they'll be baptized with? Fire. Ananias lied. Now his wife walks in. I'm not going to read you the whole story. But he says, tell me how much you sold the land for. You know what she does? She lies. They had conspired together. You know what happened? He said, the men that just carried your husband out, they're coming back to carry you out. And she dropped dead too. And the point that I'm making is that is Matthew chapter 3. And Hebrews chapter 6, functioning in Acts chapter 5. Now, honestly, aren't you glad it doesn't work that way today? Oh, I'll be at church next Sunday. You know, I'll be at church next Sunday. I'm going to give some extra money to the Lord. Aren't you glad you don't drop dead today? Whew! I'd have been dead long ago. One thing I know about me, I'm a little liar. I mean, I get on Facebook. You know what my description says on Facebook? I'm 7 foot, blonde hair, and blue eye. But I have the girls hitting after me like you won't believe. I'm kidding. Brenda and I have our picture together, trust me. I got to have something to make me pretty. Y'all understand? We're liars. Ananias and Sapphira, what they did was quench the leadership of the Holy Spirit and died. Died. I love people who say the church started in Acts chapter 2. Then how come Acts chapter 4 and 5 ain't in there? How come I don't see people just falling over dead at the congregation? That would freak me out. Wouldn't it freak you out? Wade, would that freak you out? Come to church and there's 3 people dead? So what'd they do? They lied? He said, oh, in that case, I wasn't going to put anything in the plate. You know, I mean, you'd be a lot more cautious, you know. Amen? So what were those? Those were liars. Woo! Ananias and Sapphira died, lied. And they knew all things. You know what? When they get that, it is written upon their heart. I'm telling you, they didn't have to take thought. Look back in Matthew. Matthew chapter 10, y'all there? Verse 19, watch this. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. Did Ananias and Sapphira have it? Yeah, they did, and they quenched it. They didn't listen. They didn't listen. They had it. You know why? It was given them that same very hour what they should speak. Instead of doing the right thing, they quenched it. And thus, their doom was set. Aren't you glad that ain't the way it is today? I mean, people want the power of the Spirit. The power of the Holy Ghost. I've got the power and the power and the power. Well, okay, I got that. Why don't you just zap that person for lying over there? I haven't got that much power. I mean, it gets crazy up there. We had a guy that was a missionary one time over the old church. And he thought he had the power. You were there. He hopped from one side of the stage to the other, 1 foot. Hopping on the audience. And I'm like, are you got to be kidding me? And you know Brian Sipes? He used to be a pew-jumping Baptist. Now, I've never seen one of these, and if I'd have been to a church and they had pew-jumping Baptists, I'd have probably flipped out. But he'd get so in the Spirit that he would just run for the pews, jump on them, and run them all the way to the end. If you missed, you weren't in the Spirit. I'm telling you the truth. I looked like I had the Spirit there, didn't I? Is that what Diane was saying back there? Have you seen that? Oh, I mean, that's garbage. I want to see them zap them dead. Brother, see, here's the dealy-wheelie with me. To die is to gain. Let it rip. Amen? You do? I've tried that a couple times. They don't like it. Power! I've got the power! I love how the Holy Ghost speaks in weird language. It says like stuff like this. I watch this guy. I forgot his name. He's ridiculous. He goes like this. He goes, and God. I'm like, what is he saying? He's got the power, you know. And the devil knows when to run. Yeah, he's in you, buddy. How do you know? Well, Ananias had it and lost it. They had it written on their heart. It wasn't confusing to them. Watch this. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given in that same hour what you shall speak, for it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. What did Ananias have to do? They have to quench it. We're not going to tell them what price we paid for the land. We're going to lie to them. Holy Spirit says, why? Just give it all. The Holy Spirit inside them said, give it all. They said, no, we're going to keep back part of the price. And the Holy Spirit says, you know you're not right doing that. And then Ananias and Sapphira. See, you know, has anybody ever read the book Piercing the Darkness by Frank Peretti? Yeah. It's an interesting book, and I like it for a couple reasons. Other than it's non-fictional, don't take it as doctrinal stuff. But it's kind of a unique thing, because in this book, the preacher is driving down the road, and the car starts acting up. And it's Satan's tylons in the engine. You got it? But he can't see it. All he sees is the problems. You got it? That's kind of how it is in life sometimes. Back here, they couldn't see what was happening. They just heard those small, still voices, and they didn't know to trust them. You, on the other hand, you don't get small, still voices. You don't get a little spirit speaking in your ear. And I can prove it to you. Go to 1 John. Go to 1 John 2, 27. 1 John 2, 27. In 1 John 2, 27, but the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you, and you need not that any man what? But the same anointing teaches you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in Him. Well, if you have the unction from the Holy One like Ananias and Sapphira did, you know all things. Amen? Go to 1 Samuel 32. 1 Samuel 32, verse 5. All right, there is no 1 Samuel 32. All right? You don't have the Holy Spirit if that's the test. You got it? Now, I pulled that a couple times with Hezekiah, and I realize you realize Hezekiah wasn't in there, but you knew 1 Samuel was. But you didn't know there was only 31 verses because you're not that good of a student. Or chapters. Yes, thank you. You got it? But if you had the unction, you would have got it. We don't have that functionality in our dispensation. That is not what the Holy Spirit does in our time. In our time, the Holy Spirit baptizes us. Where? Into one body. The Holy Spirit seals us. Are we sealed onto the day of redemption? How about Ananias and Sapphira? Were they sealed?
No.
Over here, Christ does the baptism into the Holy Ghost. These people are unsealed. And by the way, that proves that even water baptism couldn't save you. In its entirety, water baptism could never save you. You got it? The Holy Spirit functionality, different. Over there, they were unsealed. We're sealed. Over here, it teaches. Over here, teachers teach. Think about it. What is it doing over here? Over here, you know all things. Over here, do you know all things?
No.
You have to study. The functionality of the Spirit in this place and the functionality to the church of the body of Christ are two different functions. People get confused. I wonder if it's the Holy Ghost speaking to me. Might be gas. Check with the Word of God. The final authority is the book. I want to talk to you about marriage. Just for a minute. It's the most fun subject I've ever had. Fun subject. You know what? Marriage is complicated in itself. Amen? But the will of God is not complicated, but it's well defined. And what I mean by that is God doesn't have one single will. It isn't like this is the only way it is. And I want you to listen to the wills of God and think about the Holy Spirit and the function of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 7, Holy Spirit, now we're talking during this dispensation of time. Verse 9, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 9. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to what? Okay, so when you get to where you would be willing to fornicate or commit adultery, would be best to do what? Get married. And unto the married, I command ye, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But if she departs, let her remain what? So the first thing is get married. If you burn, right? Holy Spirit telling us that. You know, you don't have to question. If you think you're going to commit adultery, best to tell her, look, we need to get married. Okay? But look how God is so fantastic. But, and if she departs, thank God for that, amen? Let her remain unmarried, comma, or be reconciled to her husband. Let not the husband put away his wife. God is putting multiple wills into one sentence. So, well, what do I do if I'm in this position? Okay, well, let's see. Holy Spirit tells you not to depart. If you depart, what is the next will of God? You know, I know a guy that has been married 5 times. You know what I told that guy? You're no good at it. Stop! Amen? You're obviously a lousy husband. Quit it!
It might have been the wife.
Amen.
It is never the woman in my book. It is always the sorry rascal men. Amen? It's the dealy, Willie. Listen, Eve took of the tree and gave it to her husband. You know what her husband said? No, I'm not eating of that. But instead, honey, anything you want. So what does the Holy Spirit teach you? Taught you 3 things there. One, if you're going to get married, stay married. But, and if you depart, do what? And, or, be what? You don't have to wonder what the will of God is. There it is! You say, I'm confused about this marriage stuff. Doesn't sound confusing to me. Got it down pretty good. Got it? Well, those are multiple wills. You mean the Holy Spirit's confused? No, it is. It knows human nature. You got it? It knows what it's all about. Where was I? 1 Corinthians 7. Yeah, 11. 11. Verse 12. But to the rest, I, not the Lord, if any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. Can't she put her away for unbelief? Yeah. But you don't have to. You know why? Because, guys, you sanctify the lost husband. Husbands, you sanctify the lost wife. Listen, the chances of them hearing the gospel is a lot less when they're not near you than when they're near you. Amen? So what am I trying to tell you about the functionality of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit has multiple wills. You have to study it out. Where? In a King James Bible. You know what I do when I marry people? We're going to play a game. Can we play a game? How much time do we got left?
It's 54.
All right, we're going to play a game. You guys on the internet can play with us. Women, I want you, as fast as you can, to give me a verse on a wife. You're not even married. How do you know that? Huh?
Women, be under subjection to your husband.
That's right. Both of those are good verses. Give me another one.
Submit yourselves unto your husbands as you do unto the Lord.
That's right. Give me another one. You see, there's about 11 or 12 things. I would never get married until I knew them all. What does the Holy Spirit want me to do? How many here have children? Give me a verse on child rearing. Children obey your parents. Ephesians chapter 6. Proverbs 13, 26. See, guys, before you go and do something, you ought to know what God wants you to do. How do you know what the will of God is? You study it out. And so when I get couples together, I ask them why they think it's the will of God. And they all go this, I love him. I love him so much. And I'm like, okay, why would God want you to get married? Oh, is there some verse on that? No, don't know that. I just want to be a princess. You know? And it's all about a show in the flesh. If I was going to get married, I'd check what the Holy Spirit wanted me to do. Amen? Make sure that that's what I wanted. Child rearing. I think it was time for a kid. Okay. Well, give me some verses on child training. Oh, well, children should obey their parents. Amen. Husbands, how about you now? Thought you were going to escape, didn't you?
Bring up a child
in the way he should go. And when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Nikki, did you get a little spanking as you growing up? Oh, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. She probably got soft paddings, you know. You got good whippings? All right, you'll probably be okay then. Do you all understand what I'm saying? Today, the Holy Spirit, you have to consider what He said. And you have to go through the Word of God and you have to check it out and you have to think about it. I'm surprised how people get married and they haven't ever really sat down and thought about a verse of Scripture. Amen? You haven't really even thought about it. And you're going to go get married? Well, it seems like we're in love. Well, wait 6 months. You'll probably not be. Amen? I mean, I was a 32-inch waist when I met Brenda. She was only getting half the man. She had no idea. You know? The Holy Spirit. It doesn't talk to you. You have to go dig it out of the book. Men, give me a verse on marriage. Whew. Hello, that verse is a little bit rough. Amen? Are you prepared to love your wife? You know what? God loved the church while they were enemies. Haters of Him. How about if your wife hates you? You going to still love her? Are you going to be vindictive and mean? patience. Fruit of the Spirit. Amen? Got to have a little of that when you get married. Give me another verse. That was one. Woo! Very good, Jamar. Love your wives and be not bitter against them. Great verse. See, the Holy Spirit's trying to lead. And it's all right there. But you know what? People say, well, Brother Barry, you don't preach on that. You know what? If you're saved, you ought to want to study it out for yourself. Yeah, I should tell you how to live. Why don't you get off your lazy butt and read your Bible and think about what it is you're supposed to be doing? Amen? All right, I've gotten two out of the men. That's pretty sorry. That's why they're all divorced. Anything else? Yes, he is. You know what? Christ never, ever, listen to me, beat me or verbally abused me. Think about that. You want the headship like the Lord? You've got to treat her like the Lord would treat her. That's hard, isn't it? That's a great verse. One of my favorite. Yes?
Proverbs 12:4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband.
Absolutely. Absolutely. See, as you go through the Scriptures, if you're going to do something, okay, I'm going to preach, or I'm going to marry, or I'm going to have kids, or I'm going to do that, you ought to look what's in the Word of God about it. Do you need me to take you to the Word of God and show you all the verses? Hopefully you've taken some thought because you're saved and you trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And because you trust Him, you go to the book to see what it says. Husbands, wash your wives with the Word. I don't know any men that are doing that. How many have taken time to share the Word of God with his wife every breakfast? And you wonder what the problem is in America? It's not the leadership of the Holy Spirit, it's the leadership of the flesh. So is that an important part? Yes, it is. You know what women like better than skinny, shaved chest, six-pack guys? They like gray, dumpy old guys that will wash them with the Word. That's a fact. When I sit down with Brenda and I take out that Bible and say, let's have a Bible study, just me and you, she knows I'm doing it to wash her. Her eyes light up like I'm some Matthew McCullough with his shirt off. Trust me, and women think he's sexy. He isn't as sexy. Huh? What'd she say?
Oh, God, yes, is what she said.
But what's more sexy than that is the preacher with his shirt off, with the Word of God, preaching to her the Word of God to wash her.
Amen.
And I'm telling you guys, you want to start a new flame in your wife's life, wash her with the Word. Don't wash her with bitterness. Lift her up. I'm telling you, that Brenda is my best friend. There is no one in this world I would rather be with than Brenda. Come on in. Is that your mom? I can't see her from here. She's dressed up pretty, though. Hey, this guy's going to make a great husband. This kid up here. Trust me, he's got all the answers. The rest of these people haven't got a clue. But do you understand how the Holy Spirit functions? It's not some ghostly thing. If you want the answers, they're there. You don't need counseling. You don't need my words. You know what? If you come to get my 2 cents worth, you know what you've got? 2 cents. When you go to the King and you go to the righteous God who created us, and you go to that Word of God, His stuff are eternal. And it's absolutely amazing to me. I don't mind giving my advice, but my advice doesn't count. How I feel or what I think is mute doesn't really matter. What matters, boys and girls, is this book right here. My job is to drive you to this book and know how to know what is the will of God. Now, you do have to rightly divide child training. You don't want to do what it says in Deuteronomy, take your children out and stone them. That normally pisses off the neighbors and the police. But outside of that, you might want to rightly divide a few other things. But you all understand how to do it now, right? For you, the functionality of the Holy Spirit doesn't give you the information instantly. You've got to be so thoughtful that you'll drive it to the book and get it. It doesn't matter what the will of God is. Throw me something out. I give you the will on homosexuality. Would God have you to be a homosexual? No. He made Steve and Adam and Eve, not Steve and Adam. You got it? And I can give you the will of God. I can give you a chapter and verse on all of this stuff. But you won't remember unless you go and get it for yourself. And that's really what it comes down to, isn't it? Yes?
You're right. There's all kinds of answers in here. The question about your coloring your hair.
Yeah.
Proverbs 20:29 says, man is their strength. The beauty of old man is the gray head.
Actually,
that was a question answered.
All right, I'll keep the gray hair, God. Doesn't mean I'm happy about it. And it doesn't mean that the preacher doesn't sometimes like the flesh, too. So quit it. No, that is a great verse, Proverbs 29. But you know what? If you're sitting here lost today, none of this matters. I'm going to give you a chance to understand what the gospel is. We talked about the function of the Holy Spirit and all that. But you know what? If you're not saved, you have a different spirit in you than me. And right now, I'm going to give you a chance to receive the total package. If you would like to be saved, listen to me. The Bible says very clearly that there's none good, no, not one. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20, that all have sinned and come short. There's not a just person upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. In Romans 3, verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, there is none good. I'm not good. I'm not standing up here in my righteousness or my goodness. I don't have any. It says all of my righteousness, everything I could muster up that I thought was good inside of me and bring it down before the Lord would be nothing but filthy rags. I have nothing to brag about. But it said that 2,000 years ago that Jesus Christ went to that cross and died. You know, they had no clue why he died until the Apostle Paul. And then they got the secret of that death. See, they saw the death, the burial, and the resurrection, but they didn't see the mystery, and that's what saves you, and that is the S factor, that Christ died for your sins. How many? All of them. You have no sin. But you know what? Here's some news. Everybody in that apartment complex has no sin. Why? God made him to be sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. And so God right now wants you to drop all the religion that you've got, everything that you've clung on to, and throw it aside and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust what? That he died for all of your sins. If I gave an opportunity and we went down the aisle, would you know when you got saved? And if you don't know when you would have gotten saved, I'd highly recommend getting saved today. What are you clinging on to? What are you holding on to? See, I held on for 2 months believing God was going to weigh out my good and my bad until Brother Moore convinced me I was all bad. My only hope was Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about when did the Lord help you do this or help you do that. I'm talking about when did you trust the fact that He died for all of your sins. See, I trusted the Lord before I got saved, but I didn't trust Him for that. I trusted Him to help me get to the places safe. I prayed for my travels. But it was the 24th of August, 1983, that I know I trusted the Lord. And I didn't begin get any better. I'm no good. What changed about me was now I am sealed onto that day of redemption. Peace has come over me, and I'm just happy as I can be. Someone says, someone's going to kill you today. Here's the thought. Praise the Lord. I want you all to come. I'm really sincere. I'm going to write on Facebook. You know, I've got like 776 friends. I don't even know that many people. But if you're really my friend, I want you to show up at my funeral and rejoice. I've got a Savior. Don't come looking sad. Don't come down-faced. My hope has been concluded. I'm with the Lord. I'm not scared of death, nor am I not embracing it. I'm looking for the day when my last a molecule of air goes out of my lungs and never to retrieve it back in. Because my hope is in Christ. Amen. And I know we all struggle to live and strive to be alive. But I'm telling you what, once you have a Savior, that's all over. So why don't you make today your day of salvation? No tricks, no walking the aisle, no closing your eyes. You know what? Everybody here knows whether they're lost or saved right now. They know whether they've doubted their salvation or whether they've been confused or whatever. And if that's been the case, that's great. But today can change all of that. Won't you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Let's end in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee so much for Thy love, Thy kindness. We thank You so much for Your grace, and thank You for the opportunity to hear the gospel again, Father. Father, we just are grateful if there's someone here lost that You would convict them until the conviction grows so great that there's nothing to do but to turn to You. Father, we're so grateful for the leadership that You've had. Appreciate Brother Moore teaching me the Word of God. May we all go away from this place renewed, wanting to witness, wanting to share what the Holy Spirit laid upon our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.